about. So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
When you're ready to launch out into the unknown, possibly the best place to begin is in a nursing home or a care center for the elderly. One reason is simply this. The elderly really receive you quite well. I think it's because they already know how vulnerable they are. They're lonely, and they long for touch. So as clowns, we take seriously what Jesus said in Matthew 25. I'll put this in my own words.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
My story is amazing. It's tragic, and it's inspiring, and it's beautiful. I am immeasurably blessed.
Damn, that's cray-cray in a good way right there.
Twerking is great for the hips, the abs, and the buttocks. It's also great to let people know that white dudes should never twerk.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, world, check me out.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is television. That's television.
Roll another one.
I think you could state that even more emphatically.
Just like the other one.
Banned by the FCC.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Okay.
Another
game. It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You dick.
Roll another one.
Keep 12-1. Low.
Just like.
Seems
to be out of sense. Hey! And I don't have another cent.
Pretty hot here.
Just pass it around.
I wish I knew what to do.
Brought to you by people whose fingers are too tight.
And now.
That song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
Our feature presentation.
Do we know more about Muggs' friend Randy than we need?
Way yes. more. Yes. Way more.
About his hair loss and his favorite music? Yeah, we do.
His friend Randy is just too much in my life.
Do you think that Randy exists or is this Muggs' imaginary friend?
Wow, that's a tough question.
It just doesn't strike me as a guy who would have a friend.
I think he has a friend.
Having met him.
No, I mean...
Look, Randy's a loser. I'm pretty sure he's real and he's his friend.
He's real and a loser.
Yes.
All right.
That's my
I think we'll go with that.
Feeling about Randy.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe we should come up with a list of questions and all guess on what Randy's deal is and then get him on the phone and find
I like
out.
It. I like it. What's up with Randy?
Yeah.
What's up with
Randy?
Go through his fridge.
I like it.
Right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday and it's the 13th of February.
So it's Friday the 13th.
Yep.
It's Valentine's Day this weekend, the fake holiday. And then it's President's Day on Monday.
Correct.
Seems like there's a lot to celebrate there.
That's there right. is, yeah.
Especially for those of you that are so bitter about Valentine's Day.
I'm not bitter. I just have a realistic view of it.
Ah.
That's all.
I see.
Hey, speaking of Valentine's Day, I could have saved this story for the next What's Up with Florida, but it's really, when you have lovebirds like this, I can't hold on. I can't let the holiday come and go and not bring these kids up. This is out of Orange County, Florida. Her name is Erica Griffiths, and she has a former boyfriend who she framed to look like a stalker.
Okay.
This is a terrible report from WFTV.com, by the way, because I have way more questions than I have answers here, as is often the case. So she created a fake Facebook profile for him and then started sending threatening notes to herself as if they were coming from him.
Oh,
and then,
man.
And then would call the sheriff's department, call the deputies and say, hey, I got a restraining order, which she did, by the way, got a restraining order against my ex-boyfriend, and now he won't leave me alone. He was arrested 4 times in the last year.
Wow.
After she called to report that he was violating a stalking injunction. He said, I had cops banging on my doors, surrounding my house with machine guns, all kinds of stuff. Here's one of the questions I have for the reporters of stupidwftv.com. How did he spend 7 months in jail for this? Doesn't this seem like even a cursory investigation? He could say, that's not my Facebook page or something. Doesn't it seem like it wouldn't take much investigation to clear this dude?
It does seem like
Unless
that,
she's a technical genius, it'd be pretty easy to figure out where it came from.
Right.
I would think so, too. Seven months in jail he spent.
Maybe he's more guilty than we think.
The police say no. The police say it was a mistake and that all charges have been dropped and he has been released.
Well, so she needs... Go ahead.
She created a fake Facebook account in his name. She used fake emails in his name to send threatening messages to herself. And here's another sentence in the article that I want to know more about. She even created a fake meetme.com account posing as another woman. Her ex-boyfriend says she sent me a message saying her name was Amanda. So is that how – was she flirting with him with another identity and that's how she was getting him to send photos to her that she would then use to prove that he was stalking her by continuing to contact her? I think that's what their connection is we're supposed to make here.
That's all craziness.
Yes, it is.
What's happening with her?
The man – I don't know. The man does have – felony convictions in his past for drug charges, but he told Channel 9 he is not a violent person. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe I was being called a stalker. She said that I was going to kill her. What's her motivation to do this? It sounds like they had already broken up.
Yeah.
She didn't want to
be with him.
Just bitter. Yeah, just angry.
Wants him to suffer. Yeah, I mean, maybe she did want to be with him, but this isn't the way you get a guy back.
I don't think so. I don't think
so. This is the way you get a guy back.
Oh, that's true. That's the correct emphasis, yeah. By the way, Erica Griffiths, the woman, last year spoke out in a news conference as an alleged victim of domestic violence from this guy. So she went to the news, and she has been arrested and remains locked up in the Orange County Jail on charges that include stalking. She's being accused of stalking now, fraud, and making false reports. So there you go. There's your happy Valentine's Day story from a couple of crazy kids in Orange County.
That really is beautiful. I hope they get together this weekend. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Why does everything you touch turn to garbage?
Greg Alexander and Danielle Brisbois are going to be here in the studio. They've written a song called Lost Stars, which is in the movie Begin Again, and nominated for an Oscar.
Nice.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
And they have a fascinating history right here on K-Rock as being members of the 90s band, the New Radicals, which was, for about 5 years, a song that you were legally required to put in a movie if you made a movie.
Yeah.
And then, it was everywhere.
And then I know myself, I spent like the next 5 years going, I wonder whatever happened to that band.
Yeah.
When are they coming out with something new?
And they have a fascinating story. We'll talk to them about it. But basically, Greg, the lead singer and writer, decided he didn't want to be a rock star.
How many people make that decision these days?
Hey, I put out my first record and it was a huge smash around the world and now there's a great demand for me and my music. I don't want to do it.
Peace out.
Yeah, peace out. Exactly.
That's a weird decision. Why is the Department of Defense spending $500,000 on Viagra last year alone? Try to get to the bottom of that. Got the movie beat.
Okay.
Two big movies. Kingsman coming out, The Secret Service, and 50 Shades of Grey. We have Nut Rage. We're going to tell you about Nut Rage. The story's awesome. I'm sure
they're playing at the Troub, right?
Yeah. I'm sure you've probably seen this mentioned because it's been all over the news. But this woman that went crazy on the plane over the way the almonds were served, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Luis Guzman will be here.
Oh, he's great.
Talking about the movie Anna Maria in Novella Land. And we're going to check in with our own Aisa, who's in the promotions department. She's a 50 Shades Grey person.
I think she couldn't wait for the weekend. I think she was at a screening maybe last night.
Yep.
And she crazy. We're going to talk to her today. And we also have another chance for you to qualify for the Imagine Dragons, to basically follow them around the United States. So that's coming up.
Get your own stalking charges against you. Right. Imagine Dragons.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey!
Sort of is.
Hey!
Very similar.
Sue! Sue him!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Kevin and Bean Show, it is 5:53.
Ralph is here. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. What's going on?
How about Hot Tub Time Machine 2? How about that?
Looks awesome.
Yay!
I've got passes to give away to the L.A. premiere of that film happening Wednesday, February the 18th at the Bruin Theater in Westwood, California. If you'd like to attend and see the movie Days Before Your Friends, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Movies in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 20th. But you'll get to see it at the L.A. premiere if you're one of the lucky five callers who get through at that phone number. Of course, Craig Robinson stars, along with Rob Corddry, Clark Duke, Adam Scott, Gillian Jacobs, Thomas Lennon. Great cast. Just looks awesome. Can't wait to see it.
Same.
Friday the 13th!
Yeah, it's Friday the 13th. It's Friday and it's the 13th.
It's the day of death, Kevin.
You are all going to die tonight.
That's right.
You saw the movie, Kevin. You know bad things happen.
It's the worst day of the year.
But it doesn't really work out to be that much, does it?
Oh, man. I'm you just don't saying. Know.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Friday the 13th. More people die on Friday the 13th than any other day of the year. I'm just saying that.
Yeah, and it's not at all true.
There's no evidence of that whatsoever.
All right, good.
It makes the day a lot more terrifying.
Okay, good. Like it.
Didn't work out for Pamela Anderson.
She died?
No, but she's filing for divorce from Rick Solomon 6 months after she filed for divorce with him the last time and then changed her mind and stopped it. And now she's doing it as far as we know. They seem like a happy couple. Oh, wait a minute. It's like their second time married and fourth time divorcing. So not working out so well for them. Tomorrow, of course, is Valentine's Day. Unless you're at Bean's house and it's every day of the year.
Thank you.
Because he is just romance personified.
Exactly.
Now, guess how much people spend on Valentine's candy each year?
Oh, wow.
In the United States?
Yes. These United States of ours.
I would say $50 million.
All right. Anyone else? Take a stab.
I have a question first, which is, are there separate numbers for those who are buying for Valentine's Day versus those who are buying for Valentine's Day? Or are they combining them all into one?
I believe it's all one.
I'm going to double Kevin's guess and say $100 million.
Wow. Lisa?
I'm thinking less, like $30 million.
I'll tell you something. It is the fourth most popular holiday for candy.
Fourth?
Behind, of course, Halloween.
Sure.
All right,
Easter.
That makes sense. All right.
Right? Got to fill up your Easter basket and Christmas.
So,
that being
Bean says 100, I say 50, Lisa says $10.
$1 billion was spent on candy for Valentine's Day last year.
Not possible.
$1 billion in Valentine's Day candy was spent.
Isn't candy like $8 or something? How much is candy?
Well, not one person didn't spend $1 billion on a sampler.
I know that, but I'm doing the math.
This is a lot of people.
Right, but you said in America, and I'm doing the math in my head, if we have 300 million people, that means everybody is spending over $30 on candy.
With some people more, some people less.
That's a shocking statistic for me.
Well, there you go. Be shocked, man. And the Necco company makes those... those little hearts, you know, with the sayings on them.
Mm-hmm.
Be mine, kiss me, that kind of
right.
stuff.
Sure.
They sell 8 billion of those alone.
That's an accurate number?
Yes.
8 billion of those.
Yeah. But they come. They're tiny. They come in a box of, you know, I don't know, 20 or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah. Still. Anyway, the reason I bring up Valentine's Day is because every year they have these lists. Most romantic whatevers. This year, most romantic movies. Okay. Here's your list from Red Book Magazine, what they determined the top 10 most romantic movies of all time. Pretty Woman was 10th on the list. What's more romantic than getting a whore on Hollywood Boulevard and giving her a lot of money?
Streetwalker.
Oh, it's romantic.
Yeah.
Ah, whores. Ah, diamond necklaces for whores. Ghost. Ah, what's more romantic than your husband dying
and
pushing a penny up a wall? Ah, death. Say Anything. Legendary John Cusack holding up that boombox. It's an iconic movie moment.
Sure.
When Harry Met Sally. Oh, who could forget Fake Orgasms in a Deli? Ah, Fake Orgasms. The Way We Were, Streisand and Redford, was sixth on the list. Number five, Love Story. That's a film from 1970. If you've never seen it, don't bother. It's horrible. I don't know why it's on this list. Dr. Zhivago was fourth. Breakfast at Tiffany's was number three. Casablanca, one of my all-time favorites, was second. And any guesses as the most romantic movie of all time, according to Red Book Magazine?
I would have guessed Casablanca if you hadn't already said that.
Aha, but I did.
And Fifty Shades of Grey wasn't out yet when this was written.
Right, that's...
most romantic movie of all time. I'm going to say $100 million.
No, it's a wrong guess.
That's the last question for a title of a movie.
What did
you say, Lisa?
Here.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind.
Right, Lisa.
Is it really?
Gone with the Wind. Because what is more romantic than war and Atlanta burning to the ground?
That's right.
Civil war, slavery, and burning. Ah, romance.
That's a weird list.
That's a terrible list that needs to be updated
from 35 years ago when they first published it.
Wait till I do the top 10 most romantic songs next
hour. Oh, dear God.
Talk about blowing the dust off.
Seriously, Red Book, get it together.
You don't know, man. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jerry Springer, 71 years old today. Stockard Channing. Of course, Rizzo in Grease and the First Lady. From West Wing, she is 71 as well. Peter Gabriel, 65 years old today. Singer Henry Rollins is 54. Actor Neil McDonough is 49. Currently playing Dum Dum Dugan over there on Agent Carter. Kelly Hugh is 47 years old today. Singer Robbie Williams. Much bigger star in the UK than he is here in the States, but still a successful singer-songwriter. He is 41. And actress Mina Suvari celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Holiday weekend, 3 days in a row off for some people. Maybe you got time to go to the movies. Maybe you need a little help on what to go see. Here's our man Ralph Garman with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Lots of interesting films coming out this weekend, kicking off with a film from director David Cross. You know him as an actor and comedian, but now he's directed a film called Hits. It is his study of fame and those who pursue it and who are desperate for it, like the young girl in Hits who desperately wants to be famous and then gets just insanely upset when her father becomes an internet sensation because of his rants at the local council meetings. It seems to be very funny and yet very on point with this message. Here are some clips from the trailer of Hits.
I need to borrow $300. It's for my demo.
But I thought American Idol already said no.
It's The Voice.
There's potholes everywhere. This town is a farce.
Shine, Mr. Steuben.
You will hear me.
I'm outside at my mom's council meeting. This guy got arrested.
Wait.
Showing up and ranting.
What?
We're going to take his message and everything about him. We're going to blast it out.
Dad?
Your dad is about to be the most famous man in town.
Try the state.
I should be famous.
I should be famous.
That is, you're right, that's a perfect movie for these times where the number one thing that kids want to be when they grow up is famous.
Yeah, it's tragic. The Last 5 Years, this is a film in limited release starring Anna Kendrick and Jeremy Jordan. Richard LaGravenese?
Sure.
That guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on a musical about a struggling actress and a novelist who are deconstructing their love affair together by song. Here's a scene where Anna Kendrick is singing while they're getting ready to knock it out in the backseat of his car.
You don't have to learn to tango. You don't have to eat prosciutto. You don't have to change a thing. Just stay with me. I want you and you and nothing but you. Miles and piles of you. Finally, I'll have something worthwhile to think of each morning.
Wait, are they going to do it or not?
Yeah, well, I guess at the end of the song.
What's up with that?
Well, when they're
a little
singing.
Less singing.
Singing first, then humping.
A little less singing.
Boy, Anna Kendrick likes to sing in movies, doesn't she?
She yes. sure does.
She sure sings
I like
a lot
her a lot,
in movies.
But yeah.
A lot of singing. Mm-hmm. She does. A lot of singing. 50 Shades of Grey. All right, Lisa, finally we get to your movie. We know how you've been waiting
not
for
really
this. Desperate,
my
desperate.
Movie
Lisa
much.
Can think of nothing else but 50 Shades of Grey.
All right, now I have a boner.
That's right. You know the story by now. A wildly successful book series has led its way to the big screen. Dakota Johnson, Jamie Dornan star. It's about a young lady who interviews the handsome yet tormented, sexually perverse billionaire Christian Grey, and Anastasia Steele meets him, and the next thing they begin a love affair that is unlike any other. But he cannot feel love because he has no heart and no soul.
What?
And yet he must possess her physically. But can she open up the cold steel heart of Mr. Grey?
Is this the Grinch we're talking about?
Basically. instead of his heart growing three sizes, it's his boner. Here's a scene from the film where Mr. Gray is telling Anastasia that he doesn't do romance, that their relationship will be strictly sexual. Yeah, there he is now.
Why am I here, Christian?
You're here because I'm incapable of leaving you alone.
Then don't. Why'd you send me those books?
I thought I owed you an apology.
For what?
Listen to me. I don't do romance. My tastes are very singular. You wouldn't understand.
Enlighten me then.
It sounds like all of the dialogue from a porn movie.
It does, that's true. Yes. That is porn dialogue.
I have very singular tastes when it comes to the bedroom. Enlighten me then. Teach me of your ways.
But I hear that there's not a lot of sex in the movie.
Well, look, there's only so much they can do.
Right. I guess, but I mean...
You can't be showing members.
No, you can't. What's the word for reels? I know a lot of people loved the book. And a lot of people have been looking forward to this movie. But what's your take? Is it possible it's good, Ralph, or is it just trashy fun?
Here's the word.
No! I've heard from several female friends of mine who enjoyed the book saying it was really disappointing, really let them down. So. Look, this was my theory when they told me they were making it a year and a half ago. When you read a book like this, there's no way a filmed version of it can match what you're imagining in your head, especially when it comes to those sex scenes.
Right.
Because whatever you like sexually is what you're imagining as you read the book.
Everybody sees it differently.
Right, so everybody's got their own uniquely tailored experience when they're having those sexual fantasies. When you see this version, you're going to see a soft core sort of Skinamax version of them having sex. It's not going to be nearly as satisfying, even if you're just in it for the titillation.
All right, what about this dude?
Yeah, well, he's sexy as hell. You can tell from that. All right. And let's get to the real movie of the week, shall we? The Kingsman!
Yay!
Kids love it.
The Secret Service. Matthew Vaughn directs. Colin Firth stars. Taron Egerton as Eggy. Samuel L. Jackson, Michael Caine. It is the return of the fun spy movie. We've got the gritty, grim James Bond now. Kingsman harkens back to an earlier time with Sean Connery where the gadgets were cool and the ladies were hot. The spy organization recruits this unrefined street kid, and they put him into the training program so he can become a Kingsman in country. And he has to protect the world while we're at it from a global threat, from a twisted genius played by Samuel L. Jackson. Enormously fun. Looks like the movie of the weekend, in my opinion. Here are some clips from the trailer of Kingsman, The Secret Service.
I'm offering you the opportunity to become a Kingsman. Interested?
You think I've got anything to lose?
Oh, there's a lot to lose. I guarantee it.
Valentine's a threat which affects us all.
Mankind is a virus.
Mass genocide?
I like it.
You are completely crazy.
I look like I give a f***.
Assemble the Kingsman.
You blew up his head. It's a bit much, innit?
Son of a bitch.
Sam Jackson in his baseball cap with his lisp is like the most unlikely Bond villain ever. It looks to be such enormous fun.
So many louds in this movie, Kevin. Oh, you're gonna love it so much.
I can barely keep my pants on some of the louds.
I mean, really, like a surprising amount of louds.
It's 50 shades of louds for me, and I'm erect.
How about that Colin Firth, though? By the way,
he's the coolest.
He's the coolest.
He's the coolest.
He's the coolest.
He's the coolest. Michael Caine, old school cool. You got it all in this film. So Kingsman Secret Service. My pick for the weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Or the movie beat.
Oh, the movie beat, too.
About both.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
The Department of Defense spent more than $500,000 on male enhancement drug Viagra last year. Last year.
Okay. The
$500,000.
Yes. Now, is that for use inside the Pentagon? Is that for the people that work at the Pentagon? Or
It doesn't really say where they were going to use it. It's just that they spent that much on Viagra. Now, what cracks me up is probably most of the people in the military are 19, 20, 21, don't need it.
Definitely
it's
not.
It's probably like the
point.
Officers. All the generals.
Yeah, the generals sit around and can't do anything.
Those old cranky men.
$500,000 on Viagra.
Wow.
By the way, and for those who prefer Levitra, another $3,500 of Levitra and $14,500 of Cialis. So all three are covered. The contracts were filed under troop support. So we wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, hey, who can we talk to? So we asked him to get someone on the line, and Major General Clarence Dodd joins us from D.C. on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello there, Major General. Thank you for your time, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Good morning.
Well, we're a little bit surprised by this report from the Department of Defense. That seems like an awful lot of money for boner pills. What's up?
Well, if you think about how many men are serving, protecting you and your loved ones and keeping this country safe.
Right.
It's not that big a number, I don't believe.
But most of the people doing the fighting are pretty young.
That's true. Many of them are.
Okay. So we're guessing that they don't need Viagra.
You can guess all you like. The truth is, some soldiers need boners. And we're here to provide them.
Okay.
An army travels on its boner.
Never heard that before.
Me either.
Well, you're not in the military, are you?
No. Well, that's
no. We're actually.
This is my rifle.
Actually.
This is my gun. This is for fighting. This is for fun.
Okay. All right. We thank you for your service, and we're not trying to fight or with you at all. Anything. We just.
It sounds like you are when you're casting aspersions on how we spend our money on Viagra.
Just trying to get some answers to some questions.
You
so
want
this...
answers?
Yes. Yes.
You want answers?
Yeah, we
I do
actually. Yes.
You can't handle my boner.
We don't want
Son,
to.
We live in a world that has walls.
Right.
And those walls have to be guarded by men with boners.
Who's really?
Who's going to do it? You? You, Kevin, you, Bean, I have a greater responsibility than you could possibly fathom.
Yeah, I don't
you
think
weep
it's...
You weep for how much we spend on Viagra. You curse the military. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And Viagra, while tragic, probably saves lives. And my boner, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. Now, you know what the truth is? Deep down in places, you don't talk about your parties. You want me to have a boner. You need me to have a boner. We use words like honor, code, loyalty, and boners. We use these words as a backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who chucks on the radio like a chucklehead and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that me and my boner provide. I would rather you just say thank you and nice boner and go on your way. Well, otherwise, I suggest you pick up a damn weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you're entitled to.
Wow. USA! USA! USA!
I just got a boner.
Repeating now. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Jack White, by the way, who you know we love,
yeah,
just put out a new single from his Lazaretto album. And on the B-side, he covers a song by, do you know, Ralph?
Barry Manilow?
Close. Harry Connick Jr.
Wow.
How bizarre is Jack White?
He's all bizarre.
How bizarre.
But he's a genius, so you go, all right.
He just doesn't do what everybody else does. That's for sure. He follows his own dream. But anyway, it's very, very cool. Speaking of cool, how about Imagine Dragons at the Troubadour, a super secret K-Rock only show? We want you to win your way in right now at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, what are we looking for this time around?
We are looking for people who have some trivia about Imagine Dragons. We're going to bring in Rodney Bingenheimer. Who knows everything
He's
about him.
He's a huge Dragons fan.
Oh, my God. There's nothing he doesn't know. But if you can stump him with your trivia question, you'll go into the drawing and you might win tickets.
All right. So if you know something about Imagine Dragons, you think you can get past the great Rodney Bingenheimer, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Stump Rodney is coming up. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
New York Daily News has compiled their list of the 100 most romantic songs of all time because it's the love holiday this weekend.
Sure.
Valentine's Day.
100 most romantic.
Yep. Most romantic love songs of all time. The criteria was each song had to have been in the top 20 during the year it was released and had to be at least 10 years old. I don't know why they would put that criteria. I guess because it means it's a classic, because it's been around for a while.
Stands the test of time.
Exactly.
All right.
So here's your top 10 most romantic love songs of all time, according to the New York Daily News. Or Total F&BS Magazine, depending on which list put this out. Number 10, I Can't Stop Loving You by Ray Charles. I can't stop loving you.
Okay.
Yeah, if your grandparents are on the list, I guess it's romantic for them. But I don't think anyone today hears that song and thinks romance. They think, how quickly can I change the channel?
Michelle by the Beatles. If your name is Michelle, I guess that's pretty romantic.
Maybe, yeah.
Are You Lonesome Tonight by Elvis freaking Presley. First time I ever saw your face, Roberta Fleck, In My Life, The Beatles, which I think is about friends who are dying and dead friends and remembering them. That is romantic. You Are So Beautiful, Joe Cocker.
All right, I can see that one.
Number four, I Just Called to Say I Love You by freaking Stevie Wonder.
God, I hate that song. That's one of the worst songs of all time.
What? Absolutely.
You're one of the worst songs of all time. And I like Stevie Wonder.
Terrible song.
That's a terrible song.
Eric Clapton, Wonderful Tonight.
That's pretty strong.
That's very romantic.
That's very romantic.
Sure.
It's all about him and his drug and alcohol abuse. Now, he would pass out, and his wife would have to drive him home from parties because he was too loaded.
See, romantic.
It's romantic.
But he says a lot of sweet things in the lyrics.
He does, because he's drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll Be There by the Jackson 5.
Okay.
And number one most romantic song of all time.
Can I guess?
You won't be able to guess. It's the worst choice ever. Wow, you got it. Hand Farter. With Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's what I thought. See, you said I'd never be able to guess it.
Absolutely, you nailed it.
Thank
That's
you.
Impressive.
It's Hand Farter. My Girl by The Temptations.
Okay.
I mean, right. I mean, guess.
Yeah. Horrible, I mean, I'd put that list in the top 1,000, I think.
That's a terrible list.
It's a terrible list. Let's talk about real romance, shall we? And Bill Cosby. Man who knows how to treat the ladies.
That's right.
No.
They never have to pay for those drinks. You got to give it for Bill.
He's always
offering them for free.
He's always picking up the tab. Two more women held a press conference yesterday claiming that Bill Cosby gave them drinks and then sexually assaulted them. Two former models, Linda Brown and Lieselotte Lubin, appeared in front of reporters with their attorney. Let me see. The reporters were there. Who was her attorney? I'm trying to think. If the room is full of press, who would their attorney be? Oh, that's right. Gloria Allred.
Gloria Allred. Were there cameras?
There were cameras, indeed.
Gloria Allred.
Linda said she met Bill in 1969 when she was a model, and her agent introduced them when he performed in Toronto. He took her to dinner, offered to drive her home, insisted she come back to his room at the hotel so he could give her a gift. He got her a soft drink. Then she blacked out. When she woke up, she was naked in bed beside him. I have no idea how my clothes came off or why or how I was in his bed.
I know exactly how they came off.
Take it easy up there.
Lisa also said the same situation. Cosby gave her a drink. She became dizzy, disoriented. When she woke up, she didn't wake up for a long time. She was back home again. She didn't even know how she got back
home
again. Yeah, so just tragic, tragic news. Speaking of tragedy, you see her at Pierce Brosnan's home?
I didn't.
Oh, the fire?
Yeah, fire just decimated his home in, I guess it's a beach house he's got there in Malibu. 50 firefighters. Took 40 minutes to fully extinguish the blaze. Apparently, he was just standing there in the street just watching his house burn. I can't imagine how just helpless that feeling
That's
must
a
be.
Bummer.
Yeah, sure it like is that a bummer, house. Man. Why are you laughing, Kevin?
I'm saying, like, it's terrible. Sure like that house, that one right there in front of me that's burning to the ground.
Apparently, a photographer showed up at the scene and asked Brosnan what happened while he was standing there. And he snapped at him, "What do you think is going on? See those firemen and those flames?
My house is burning."
That guy's had some rough times. His wife passed away from cancer in the 90s, and his daughter.
That's right.
Brutal.
Then they stole the James Bond role away from him, even though he was a great James Bond.
They didn't steal it away from him.
They could have kept him on. Fired his ass.
He's in his 60s.
Yeah.
And that big Saturday Night Live special on Sunday night, celebrating the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, has now been expanded to 3.5 hours. It was going to be a 3-hour show. Now it's going to be a 3.5-hour show. Clips. Come on.
They can match the Grammys. I mean, let's go 340, 345, whatever that was.
Yeah. I mean, the clips alone that they're going to show over 40 years, classic Saturday Night Live sketches, could fill 3 hours. But then you think about all the guests they're inviting, just a ton of former performers from all the different seasons are going to be there, and a bunch of guest stars and a bunch of musical stars. So it's shaping up to be quite the event. Joe Piscopo is going to be there, so that's all you need to know.
I can't wait to see what Eddie Murphy does.
Yeah, that should be cool. And good news, Def Leppard, Styx, and Tesla are touring together this summer.
Yeah!
40 cities they're going to tour this summer. Def Leppard, Styx, and Tesla. And Tesla, of course, Kevin, you remember, he invented the electric car.
That's true.
Do we have that moment with?
I did hear that.
I think we did learn that on the show.
I'm a very
we
smart
learn
guy
that from
one time.
Kevin knows about Nikola Tesla.
I think that's going to be on your end, kids.
We got it.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know, figures from history rap against each other. This particular one is Nikola Tesla, who, of course, came up with the Tesla automobile, and Thomas Edison. It's really weird to think that there's somebody somewhere writing a rap for the guy that invented the Tesla car.
That was A Moment with Kevin. Yeah.
So, what are you saying?
I'm just saying Nikolai Tesla was a scientist and inventor.
I don't understand.
Long before the Tesla car came along.
Really, Kevin? Really? Really? Nikola Tesla invented the Tesla car? Really? Really?
Today's celebrity birthday.
His name is right on it in Kevin's defense.
That's true. And he was in that band, too. He was the lead singer for Tesla, the band. So he's got that going for him.
Sure.
Celebrity birthdays. Jerry Springer, 71, as is actress Stockard Channing. Peter Gabriel, 65 years old. Henry Rollins is 54. Neil McDonough is 49 years old today. Kelly Hugh from 47. She's 47?
Yeah.
Boy,
good deal.
Great looking 47. Singer Robin Williams, not Robin Williams, Robbie Williams is 41. And Mina Suvari celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Lou Graham with Midnight Blue.
Nope.
Robbie, actually, that's not.
K-Rock. That's Q.
Rodney, that's
FM
not.
FM 106.7.
I think that's Walk the Moon
You're
we were listening to, Rodney.
Rodney on the Rock Show.
It's Kevin Bean
right.
Show.
Kevin Bean. All right, listen.
Coming
let me take it from
next,
here.
Talking to David Cassidy.
Nope. Actually, no. Actually, no. That's not happening. Hey, Rodney.
So we'll be raising money for
Rodney Bingenheimer.
Cartridge.
Works Sunday nights here on K-Rock and has for decades. He is the music authority of the radio station.
Right.
He knows everything about all the bands. But I just want to remind you, Rodney, before we go to these calls here for a minute, that we're talking about the band Imagine Dragons. I know you love the 80s. That's your
era. I
love
the 80s.
I know you do. How do you feel about the 90s, by the way?
I hate the 90s.
But we're not talking about the 80s. We're
Kim
talking
Fowley
about.
Kim Fowley just passed away.
Yeah.
It was at his funeral.
I know.
Not
I heard
long
yeah.
ago, and it was just. Wonderful.
Your
so
recap was great.
There.
Okay. Listen, we're taking questions from the audience about the band Imagine Dragons. They're going to try to get something past you. They'll ask a question. If you don't know the answer, if they stump Rodney, they go into the drawing to win tickets to see them at the Troubadour.
All
okay?
right. Imaginary dragons. Aren't all dragons imaginary?
It's just imagine.
I don't think they're real
imagine.
Ones, are there?
Imagine.
Hey,
dragons.
Let's play Stump Rodney. Hit it, Steve.
Yeah, wig-wham, bam.
All right, that guy's godhead.
Let's start with line two, because this is the easiest of all Imagine Dragons questions.
All right.
If you know nothing else about the band, you know this, Rodney. So I want you to get some confidence under your belt here and at least get this one right.
All right, Crystal, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. What's your question for Rodney?
What is the hometown of Imagine Dragons?
What is the hometown of Imagine Dragons?
Imaginary Dragons hometown.
Imagine Dragons, the band, right? Where are they from, Rodney? Everybody knows
They're
this.
From Middle Earth.
What?
The dragons are from Middle Earth.
Crystal, is it Middle Earth?
Somewhat like that. Mm. Provo, Utah?
I don't think so.
Hey, what happened to Las Vegas? I thought everybody knew they were from Las Vegas. Are they not?
No, they're not.
All right.
Well, you stumped Bean, too, then.
All right.
Hang on. You're in the drawing. Right. You have apparently stumped Rodney.
And Bean.
Las Vegas. Wasn't it Las Vegas? I thought it was Las Vegas.
I'm not.
All right, let's
I'm
go.
I'm the guy who's not supposed to know the answers.
That's true.
That's,
you know,
that's part of the bit.
Let's go to Steve and Whittier. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. Stump Rodney.
Who screens these calls?
Well, poor beer mug. Let's be honest.
It's a great question, though. All right, what's your question for Rodney Bingenheimer?
Imagine Dragons guitarist Wayne Sermon has a nickname. What is it?
What is Wayne Seaman's nickname?
Sermon.
All right. Fountains of Wayne.
That's an old band.
All right. Fountains of Wayne.
Is that the correct answer,
Fountain
Steve?
Of Wayne Seaman.
Nope.
Negative.
Oh, what is it?
It's Wing.
All right. That's a good question. Thank you.
Provo, Utah.
All right, two for two. You're in the drawing.
All
Let's
right.
go to Avo. Avo, line seven, please. Avo in Valencia.
Hi,
hey,
Avo.
Hi. It's Avo, actually. Sorry.
Okay, Avo.
Good morning.
Hi.
The question is, where did the band's name Imagine Dragons originate from?
Middle Earth.
Come on, Rodney.
That's where dragons are from.
Okay, these aren't real dragons. This is a band
there
called
There are
Imagine
no real
dragons.
Dragons. That's
Apparently
what I'm saying.
Apparently from Utah.
They're imaginary.
All right, where does the name come
All
from?
Right.
Is it Middle Earth?
Actually, no. It's an anagram that's been kept a secret for 4 years with the band now.
Provo, Utah.
What is wrong?
Who does screen these calls? That was a great question.
All right, let's try Kathy. Let's go to Kathy in La Habra. Hi.
Hi, good morning. Happy Friday the 13th.
To you as well.
All
Stump
right.
Rodney.
So my question for you, Mr. Bingenheimer, is who is the front man / lead singer of Imagine Dragons? What is his name?
Gandalf the Grey.
Ah, nice.
All right.
That would be awesome.
Awesome.
Is that correct? Pass. Is that correct, Kathy?
No, sir. The correct answer is Mr. Dan Reynolds.
Does that ring a bell, Rodney?
Burt Reynolds is the lead singer of Imaginary Dragons.
Kathy, you are in the drawing. Good luck. Hope you see them at the Troubadour. Let's go to Christy on line one, please.
Smokey and the Bandit.
Christy is calling us from Long Beach. On to Stump Rodney.
Okay. Kevin was confused.
Okay.
Thank you, Rodney.
What? Hello?
Yes, sorry. Go ahead.
What is the name of their debut studio album?
Lord of the Rings.
What? You're so hyper-focused on that today.
That's where dragons are. Gandalf.
Christy
is
in Lord of the Rings.
Not quite. It's Night Vision.
Night Vision. Okay. All right. You are also in the drawing to see Imagine Dragons. All right. Do we have time for one more, Kevin?
Sure.
Any call you like here?
All right.
They're both harder than everything we've done.
Provo, yeah. Utah.
All right, let's cut our losses then and just do the grand prize drawing here, Lisa.
What did I win?
Well, you didn't win anything, Rodney, but everyone
that you
spoke with...
Why am I playing this game if I can't win anything?
For fun. You like it?
Exactly. Who's our winner? Everyone's in the drawing.
Our winner is Avo.
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 Congratulations, Avo.
Is your last name Cotto?
You're going to see Imagine Dragons at the Troubadour.
That would be awesome if his name was Avocado.
Right, thank you.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wig, wham, bam.
Let me just give this piece of advice if there are any aspiring filmmakers out there. You got yourself a movie, you're trying to figure out how to make it good. You hire this man right here, Luis Guzman, who joins us in studio on the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, Mr. Guzman? Good to see you, sir.
I'm great, brother. How you doing?
It's unbelievable. How many movies have you been in, by the way? Do you know? Do you keep track?
Oh, man. I know it's been over 70.
Over 70.
Nuts.
Yeah. My IMDb is like a summer reading project.
It's three pages of information.
Something like that.
That's not possible.
And then you added the TV shows. You know, you added your own show and the Oz and the Law and Orders and the NYPDs and all those shows that you've been on. How many different TV shows you reckon you've done over the years?
Oh, man. I honestly think I stopped counting like 10 years ago.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I mean, look, anyone who's lucky enough to get work as an actor is thanking their lucky stars. Did you ever go through a dry spell?
A couple of times, you know, but I think a few times were out of choice because, you know, when you're raising a family and you're always on the road, you got to say, you know what? I'm taking off for 6 months. I'm going to create my own dry spell so I can see my kids play basketball.
But as an actor, is that sort of scary? Because I would imagine you're always wondering when the next gig is coming.
It is scary, but, you know, it's a different world nowadays, and you have so many different outlets and so many different kind of opportunities. So, you know, it's like the well doesn't go dry pretty much, you know. But also, you know, the quality that one does, that's really important. So
right.
I'm really fortunate that I get to do really good, great quality of projects and stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, especially when you get, you know, when you get in with the Steven Soderbergh, Paul Thomas Anderson crowd, people, game recognize game, and people go, well, that guy's a great actor. We'll be lucky to get him. So I imagine you get more offers and you know what to do with.
Yeah, from time to time. But like I said, it's a blessing, and it's a blessing to, you know, the quality of work and what you bring to the table.
All right, we just looked it up. Here you go. You have 128 credits as an actor on your IMDb page.
128.
Now, that includes your work with video games and animation as well as movies and TV.
Okay.
128. That's a career, my friend.
Thank you.
Have you played more good guys or more bad guys?
Honestly, I don't know. I think I probably play more bad guys, but I think the good guys are coming, bringing up the rear.
Bad guys earlier on.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I got, like, rehabilitated and domesticated, so I'm doing the good guys now.
What's your favorite role that you've ever done?
Oh, man, that's...
That's a tough question.
Hardest question. My favorite role could have been Pachanga in Carlito's Way. It could have been Maurice T.T. Rodriguez in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
It could have been Detective Castro in Traffic.
There's just too many to pick.
Too many good ones.
Could have been Jacopo and the Count of Monte Cristo. You know, I mean, I don't have one. I have many. And like I said, you're really fortunate to, you know, to have that kind of career that it's like you can't choose that one.
Yeah.
Right. What do people come up to you and mention the most?
I loved you in Ghosts. I was not in Ghost.
Okay. So I love you in Ghost is not the way to start the conversation.
Why did you kill Patrick Swayze? If I got a nickel for everybody that came up to me, I'm telling you, I would probably own my own island right now.
Now, who are they confusing you with? Was there an actor who looked like you in that film?
We look nothing alike. But
excellent.
His name is Rick Aviles. He's the brother has passed away many years ago, but... You know, to this day, I'll be like walking through a mall or just walking, oh, I love you, and Ghost. And I go, thank you.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you then try to work in, you know, it's very nice of you, but it wasn't me, or do you just take the picture and just move on?
I did that in Detroit because this little, changing planes, you know, and this little old lady comes up to me, and I love you, and Ghost. And I just felt like, oh, no, I can't. You know, she's such a sweet,
she's,
you know,
so happy.
Yeah, man. And I said, look. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't in Ghost. That wasn't me. So she goes, so what have I seen you in? And I said, you ever seen The Count of Monte Cristo? So, oh, my favorite movie. Well, I played Jacopo in that. And she goes, you wasn't in that. So since that day, anybody that comes up and says, I love you, and goes, says, thank you.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
That is the voice of actor Luis Guzman here on The Kevin Beach Show. We're going to be talking about his new movie in just a couple of minutes here called Anna Maria in Novella Land, which is unlike anything that I've seen in the theaters in a long, long time. It's an interesting project we'll talk about. You were born in Puerto Rico, but you moved to America as a very, very, as a kid, right?
Yeah, I was 15 minutes old.
Oh, wow.
15 minutes old?
Like, that's... my mom had me and got on the plane.
She had you on the runway?
I don't think it was the runway.
Okay, all right.
But it could have been the bathroom at the airport.
Okay, all right.
That is crazy. Why was she in such a hurry to get out of Puerto Rico?
I think she got some kind of a deal on the flight.
Well, there's nothing better than a newborn sitting in the seat next to you.
I know that.
That is the best for other people.
Yeah. No, I was very, very young. Like I said, I must have been a couple months old or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you grew up in New York. Did you have you always stayed in touch with your Puerto Rican heritage? Has that island been important to you?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I go back twice a year. I speak Spanish.
You have family there.
I have family there. I cook my Puerto Rican meals, you know.
Are you the king of Puerto Rico when you go back?
Well, I put it, yeah, pretty much.
All right.
I mean, there's me and then there's the governor.
Okay.
All right.
But you're above.
Yes. Yeah, yes,
the governor.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Well, because they loved you in Ghost.
You were so good at
Ghost.
Yeah,
no kidding.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. Luis Guzman is here. Again, the film is called Anna Maria in Novella Land. It's in theaters everywhere on Friday, February 27th. We will let Luis explain why it's unlike anything you'll see at the theaters this year when we return right after this on K-Rock. Actor Luis Guzman in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, the most famous Puerto Rican in the world, ladies and gentlemen. He is here with a new movie opening up at the end of the month on Friday, February 27th, called Anna Maria in Novella Land. Very different from anything we've seen in a long time, Luis, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool little comedy. You know, it's about this telenovela world and this girl and her family who are infatuated with it. And something happens and somehow she ends up in the telenovela. And the girl in the telenovela ends up with her family, and it's you know, it's that kind of comedy and stuff. It's that kind of world.
One second she's live tweeting it, and the next second she's waking up in the bed next to the guy that's on the TV.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have dreams like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird to watch her live tweet, though, because she's not paying any attention to her family, her mom, her dad, her sister's getting married. It's just odd that she's just sort of so into it, and then all of a sudden she disappears into the story.
Well, I think, again, it's a really interesting concept. It's a really fun concept, you know, and so many people, like I said, I mean, like the telenovela world is huge.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because, I mean, we have soap operas in America, and they are basically dying. But in many countries around the world, particularly in the Spanish-speaking countries, they're the most popular things on television, right?
Well, everything stops. Everything stops because we need to watch this at 1 o'clock or 7:30 and stuff like that. And it's a big part of the culture, you know, and you know, people gravitate to it because it's like over dramatic and stuff, and people cry and families have fights and stuff about don't you dare change that channel. I'm going
right.
to the bathroom, I better be on that channel. You know, and it's like some kind of a cultural drug to watch your telenovela. It's like if you miss one, it's like you're missing out on something really important in your world.
What I found out by watching the movie is that it's so crazy out there. At first, that's my thought. And then later when you're watching it, you go, okay, no, I'm sort of in. I'm sort of out.
Yeah.
I sort of need to find out what's next.
Well, I mean,
absurd, but.
I mean, for me, like doing this kind of movie, it's like the only time I get my opportunity to overact. Because, because in telenovela, everything is like, you know, they kind of hype up the drama. You know,
to a ridiculous level.
Oh yeah, yeah. it's like you know, you got a splinter. No man, that's a log in my finger. That's a log, man. You know,
but it's no crazier than like Scandal, for instance. I mean, you know, just in terms of just ramping everything up to ridiculous levels, like people never talk like that. We sort of do that a little bit on some shows, but the telenovelas, I mean, it's amazing how popular they are and how hot the ladies are on these shows. My God, Luis.
Yeah, I was always competing for makeup, you know, and the makeup. like, guys, how much are you going to put on? Leave some for me. But yeah, no, I mean, it's beautiful, it's sexy, you know. It's very stylish, you know, it's very grand.
Is there a particular one that this was written about, or is this just a whole fiction?
This total fiction, you know. I don't think it was written about any particular one, not that I know of anyway.
Right. Now some of the movie is in Spanish. It's kind of interesting. I mean, this movie definitely is made, it seems like it is targeting young Spanish-speaking people, but obviously, you know, everything's translated, and a lot of it is in English, too, so it is for everybody. But it definitely seems like it has a different target than a lot of films that come out.
Well, I think, again, this movie is definitely a movie for the universe. In my opinion, it's not just targeting young Latins. You know, I think it's just a whole different world now, and it's a different form of entertainment. And just like I say, you know, there's American soap operas and there's Spanish soap operas, and I think this is a great clash, kind of crossover type of deal. And so I think this is something, again, for the universe, you know, and people can relate to it because, like I said, anybody that watches any kind of soap opera or telenovela world can relate to this.
The film, again, is called Ana Maria in Novela Land, and it opens up on Friday, February 27th. What kind of movie would you like to be in that you've never been asked to be in? Luis, is there a character you've always wanted to play, like an astronaut or whatever it is that just hadn't happened yet?
Yeah, I wanna be the guy that discovers the actual fifth or sixth dimension.
Okay.
I wanna be that guy that like got shot up into space. Oh, they already did that movie.
You're thinking of Interstellar, okay. It sounds like.
Yeah. Okay.
You could have done that.
I don't know, man. I think like maybe being the greatest lifeguard on the greatest beach in the world.
Something that's fun to film. That's the kind of role that you want to play, right?
Exactly. Something that I don't have to run away from dinosaurs or lizards or people shooting at me. You know what I mean?
Have you done a lot of love scenes in your career?
I think they all been cut.
They've all been cut?
Yeah.
I love it. The most beautifully manicured snow in all of Vermont.
That's something
you should be very proud of, man.
Right on.
All right. The film is called Ana Maria in Novela Land. You will like it. The great Luis Guzman stopped by to Kevin.
Thank you, guys.
What a thrill, man. Thanks for the time.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Run that car properly? Like, what's costing that much money?
Listen to me. I'm not a Bugatti dealership. I don't have those answers for you. I just know the story I'm reading.
But we're calling BS on it. That's what I'm saying. It's BS.
Tuesday, we need somebody either from Bugatti or somebody who knows on the show.
We won't care by Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin won't even remember this. I will think of little else.
Okay. That's on you.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jerry Springer, 71 years old today. Just celebrate Jerry's birthday. Throw a chair at someone.
That's nice.
You know, get into a fight with a loved one.
I like it.
In honor of Jerry. Stockard Channing, 71. Peter Gabriel, 65. Henry Rollins is 54. Neil McDonough, currently can be seen on Agent Shield as Dum Dum Dugan. He is 49 years old. Kelly Hughes, 47. Robbie Williams is 41. Mina Suvari turns 36. And Dave, stupid Dave, the King of Mexico, who makes my list every day for my celebrity birthdays.
Yeah.
Neglected to mention, and thanks to the listeners who gave me the heads up, it's David Naughton's birthday today.
Oh, don't.
David Naughton, star of American Werewolf in London.
Don't do
one
this
of the great all-time horror films.
Do not do this.
But more importantly, he also starred in a short-lived sitcom called Making It, and he sang the theme song to Making It.
Do this.
It was a smash hit. And we love Making It around here, don't we?
Wasn't it one year on his birthday that we got him on the phone, Ralph?
He called us one year on his birthday.
Because all of his friends were blowing up his social media that we were talking about.
Hey, they're playing Making It over on K-Rock.
Yeah, but that was then. And then we had him
this
on.
This is now, baby.
I'm solid gold. Woo! I've got the goods. They stand when I walk through the neighborhoods. I'm
making it. That's right.
I've got the chance.
I'm taking it. No more. No more faking it. This time in life, I'm making it. Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, double clap.
He probably didn't believe when they told him we were playing that song.
Yeah, like, no one's playing Making It
anymore. Nobody would make that choice.
Happy birthday, DN. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Emmett.
Hold on. All right, try it again.
Congratulations to Emmett Svetku. Svetku.
Yay!
Pretty sure that's not accurate. Canyon Country. Our grand prize winner.
Ooh.
For Imagine Dragons. Gets to see Imagine Dragons at the Troubadour. And then you get to see him again in Salt Lake City and Vegas and Atlanta. And you get your own in-flight acoustic set with the band.
Cool.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
We really do give those grand prizes away, kids. All week long, we've been qualifying people right up until last hour. But that is your winner. Kevin, I want to hear you say the name again, please.
Emmett Svetku.
There you go. Okay. Way to go.
Relatively sure.
Hey, a couple of songwriters nominated for an Academy Award are joining us in studio next hour. Greg Alexander and Daniel Brisbois. They wrote the song Lost Stars from the movie Begin Again. They were also in the band New Radicals back in the 90s that we played a lot here at K-Rock. And they have a fascinating story to tell, so that's 1 hour from right now. First, though, here's a woman named Heather Cho. She was involved in an airplane rage incident back in December. You know, it seemed like for a while last year we were hearing all sorts of stories about planes having to be turned around because of drunken passengers, because of people who were fighting over somebody putting their seat back. Remember all those stories?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It seemed like every day we were coming in and some other plane had been turned around. Well, this one was forced to return to the gate in New York last December when she started throwing an epic temper tantrum because she did not like the way she had been served nuts. Apparently, she did not ask for macadamia nuts, Kevin.
Right.
And they not only were given to her, but they were given to her in a bag, not in a bowl.
And that is when she lost it.
That is when she lost it.
A, they didn't ask her. B, bag, not bowl.
Right.
And she went crazy.
You won't be surprised to know, by the way, that her father owns Korean Air, and that is where her sense of entitlement probably came from, as she treated this commercial airplane like it was a private plane. An epic tantrum, and now her sentence has been unveiled, and here's the report about what will happen to Heather Cho.
Nut Rage 2015.
She will be forever known as the person behind Nut Rage. 50 meters from the gate in JFK on her flight in first class, she was served nuts in a bag. She thought it should have been a bowl, and she thought she should have been asked. So she, the daughter of the chief of the company, demanded that that plane was shunted back to the gate. And the purser put off.
Purser is what?
The flight attendant.
Flight attendant?
Yeah.
Kicked off the flight.
Yeah.
Yes,
because
that's right.
They dared give her that in a bag and not a bowl.
This is unbelievable.
Also, we heard in court that she made some of the staff kneel down in the aisle and beg forgiveness.
No.
Yes,
you
she
know,
did.
This is not only outrageous. In this case, it's actually nutrageous.
Oh.
Ooh.
Right?
F you so much. Start the file with the...
She cried in court as she read out a letter of contrition and apology, but it was clear from the statement by the judges that they were having none of it. The prosecution had asked for 3 years. She clearly would have wanted a suspended sentence. So a year in prison plus a mountain of humble pie is a true penalty.
she is going to serve, well, she's sentenced to a year in prison.
That's amazing.
Now, you hate this woman and everything she stands for. Yes. But you think maybe that's a little extreme for throwing a temper tantrum in an airplane?
I mean, yeah. Everything about this is funny hateable, like ridiculous right. cartoon over the top funny hateable. But,
right.
I mean, really? We're going to put her in jail for a
no,
year?
No, I agree
I mean,
with
that
you.
Seems a little silly.
I think she should be banned from ever flying on her dad's airline again. That's number one. She always has to pay for her tickets. She
That'd
can't
be good.
Fly first class.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea, Lisa.
Can you all imagine right. her dad talking to her and going, what happened? They served me almonds in the wrong container.
That is a woman who has spent too much time being wealthy, is mm-hmm. what's going on there. She has not. She needs some struggle in her life. That's what she needs.
Yeah. She's right. about to get it with a year in prison.
I don't know how this is going to go, but it has been suggested that maybe it's a phone topic. Maybe we should open up the lines at 1-800-520-1067 and find stories of other people who threw epic tantrums over the tiniest things.
The most insignificant thing possible, somebody lost their S.
Yes. Now, it would be great if you're the person who lost lost your ass and you're willing to call and tell us that story. But if not you, lots of people have seen things like this that have gone down, right?
Plus, normally I'll just call and go, a friend of mine.
Yes.
Right, exactly. That's how you do it. I mean, I want to hear your, you know, you're a waitress and they threw the veal cutlets at you because they were cooked wrong. I want to hear those kinds of stories, like the most epic temper tantrum you've ever seen or been a part of. Give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We're trying to beat nut rage, so make it good, kids.
I don't know how you beat nut rage.
We'll see.
I mean,
it could.
God's sakes, it seems impossible.
Talking about Heather Cho, she's the nut rage lady. She threw an extreme temper tantrum and is now going to jail because, well, not only did she not ask for macadamia nuts on her flight, but they delivered them to her in a bag, Kevin, and not in a bowl.
That is outrageous.
Like a human. Eat them like a human out of a bowl. So we're taking your calls of you just blew up over the tiniest possible thing or saw somebody do it in person at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got some good calls. Got some good calls here. Let's start with our man Rob. He's in L.A. He's on line 5, please. He had a McDonald's incident that sounds like a lot of fun for everyone involved.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Yeah, I was in Dublin. Had been out drinking with some friends, and there was a McDonald's on the corner, and we wandered in. And we are waiting in this long line, and we finally get up to the front. And the person who had been right in front of us, who had just come back into the store, kind of cut in front of us and was screaming with his burger open that there were no pickles on his burger, just like causing a complete tantrum. He threw the burger in the face of
nice,
and just like ketchup and everything went everywhere, and the guy had food all over him. It was, and then he stormed out of the place.
So it wasn't, hey, you guys forgot to put pickles. Would you mind adding some pickles to my burger? It was you effing a-hole, basically, and just started throwing food.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, sometimes you want pickles, dude.
Yeah, I know. He likes pickles.
Rob, did you just say, hey, it's pickles? Maybe not so much anger. Nope.
Say again?
Okay.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Dan in L.A. He's on line 6, please.
You know, the problem with this particular story with Nut Rage is that she was the daughter of the guy that owned
right.
it. So she had that whole thing going.
That's how she could get away
Her
with it.
Her sense of entitlement,
yes.
right.
Yes. Dan, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank
hi.
You. Good. Turn your radio down.
All right, it's down.
Thank you.
I don't have any radio on.
Okay.
So we were in Las Vegas at a strip club, and my friend Bill... He'd lost his sunglasses, and when he lost the sunglasses, he had a complete fit. I mean, completely just nuts, took a chair, slammed it on the ground.
Oh, my God.
What? The lights went on in the whole strip club. Everybody stopped. It was like an automatic stop.
That's bad form.
All the strippers started helping him, looking for the glasses. I look around, and I'm all, oh, he's just flipping, just out of his head. So,
hey, Chris.
Morning, guys.
Hi.
What happened, dude?
So I was taking my sister to the airport. She was flying back to New Hampshire, where we're from, and she was like 16, 17, and the TSA guy had asked her, you know, before she walked through the metal detector, to please take her belt off.
Right.
First thing she does is just go berserk. You know, it's not like my belt is a bomb. I'm not wearing a bomb belt. This belt isn't just a gigantic strip of bomb.
Oh, boy.
This is BS. I don't have to do this. This is crap. And I had to pull her aside, and I'm like, are you kidding me?
This is your sister.
Me?
This is your sister, correct?
My sister, yeah. She was 16. Turned out, and I had no idea. Turns out she was on her wonderful monthly gift.
Yeah, so, but a lot of people have been on their that
yeah.
time. And
yeah, yeah. Here's the one thing I know about flying is the TSA loves it when you use the word bomb.
Oh, God, do they?
Not a belt of bombs.
And by the way, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it so much, Chris. If I'm the TSA, and I'm sure they run into this all the time with people who just don't want to do whatever it is they're asking, I think the easy answer is just, you don't have to fly.
Right. Right. Go someplace else.
Yeah, it's not on me. If you don't want to do it, feel free to take your belt, leave it on, and walk out the airport. It doesn't matter to me whether you get on a plane or not. All right, let's go to Amy in Riverside, please. Line 7. We go to Disneyland for her story. Hi, Amy.
Hi, guys. Good morning. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, I used to work at Disneyland, and I was working the parade route that day, and they always let us know, you know, you have to clear the route, so, you know, for the safety of the guests, for the safety of the people in the parade. I went up to this lady and her family, and I let her know, you know, hey, miss, I'm so sorry. If you could please move behind the white line, I think it was maybe a foot at most. And she went crazy. I don't have to. I've been waiting here for an hour, and, you know, we were kind of going back and forth for a little while. And finally I said, you know, miss, this isn't an argument. It's not your choice. You're going to have to stand behind the white line. And she said, well, what if I don't? And I said, well, then at that point I'll have to unfortunately call my leads, and they'll just ask you again. And after that point it gets taken to security. And she said, well, in that case I won't. And she stepped forward and, you know, leaned forward close to my face, and she burped right in my face.
Oh God.
On purpose, like, she burped into your face.
On purpose, because she didn't want to walk a foot.
So. Oh, my God.
Wrong with people.
How do people get to that point? She had to step back a foot.
You know, I get it. It's a hot day. You've been there all day. You've spent all your money. And so we're prepared for those types of situations. But at that point, you know, I could not smile anymore, and I called my lead, and I let them take care of it because, yeah, no.
What, Amy, what do you think she had been eating earlier that day?
She had a turkey leg, most definitely.
Okay, all right. Right.
Did you hear that?
This is a big, big weekend for a lot of the ladies. A lot of the ladies listening have been waiting for this for a long time because the 50 Shades of Grey movie is finally out, finally available. This series of books, Kevin, 50 Shades of Grey and then 50 Shades Darker and then 50 Shades Freed, three books by author E.L. James, have sold over 100 million copies.
Oh, my God.
Holy crap. And now they've made it into a movie, and I know the reviews have been all over the place. I don't know what to think about this. I mean, for instance, here's just a taste of one review from the equivalent of what we would call the Today Show in Australia.
50 Shades of Grey is, quite simply, the worst movie I've ever seen.
Whoa!
No, you didn't. Now, I doubt very seriously it's the worst movie ever, right? It can't be that bad, can it?
I don't think it can be that bad.
It's pretty stiff competition.
there's a lot of competition. The worst movie ever. So we thought, rather than guess or listen to Ralph, who obviously reviewed it earlier and hasn't seen it, let's go to somebody who is well-versed in all things 50 Shades Grey. She is our close personal friend, Aisa, who works here at K-Rock. Hello, darling. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are good.
Well, it's always great to have you on the show for whatever nonsense you're into this week.
It's usually Twilight, but all right.
You saw the movie already?
I'm okay.
You already saw the movie, right?
I saw the movie, yes.
When did you go? Last night?
I went Wednesday night.
Wednesday night? All right. And what were your expectations going in?
Wait, before you tell us that, did you like the books?
Yes, I did. I liked the books.
Okay.
It's not great literature, but I liked the books. It's fun reading trashy novels.
All right. And what did you expect from the movie?
Okay. So I didn't read any of the reviews whatsoever. I didn't buy into the negativity. I didn't see that Australian tape until after I saw the film. So
right.
I went in just cold blank. I knew, I was hoping that it was going to be as great as the books.
All right, now let me stop you right there, Aisa, because I'm so fascinated with this topic. Did you have any thoughts about the casting of the two lead roles in the movie? Did you think that had a lot of potential for you, or were you disappointed when you saw those actors cast?
I was bummed. When I heard that it was going to be Charlie Hunnam
first, yeah.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm good. But then, you know,
he made the right choice. Let's be honest. Charlie Hunnam should not be in that.
The two actors are fine. They did. I was pleasantly surprised with what they did.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the movie.
I go to the movie, and of course, it's me and 500 other women.
Sure.
And we get in, and to be honest, since I didn't have any expectations, I went in kind of low, thinking, okay, it's not going to be the greatest. And again, I was surprised. I was pleasantly surprised at the movie and how it was a romance with a bit of edge to it, which I knew was going to happen. Now, was it the super smoking hot, you know, make me cross my legs and flush uncomfortable like the books tended to be? No. Would have had to be an X-rated movie. It would have had to be completely...
That's what a lot of people have been talking about, is the book takes it, you know, far enough that you really can't do it without getting at least an NC-17 rating.
It had to have been more than an NC-17. So there was a lot of stuff in the movie that, you know, of course that was in the book, and you know, it was funny. There was a couple of scenes that were really funny, and Dakota, the female lead, did a, you know, there were some funny parts. I was really surprised at what a good character she played. She did a good job.
How about the, you know, one of the things, and again, you avoided a lot of the coverage leading up to the film's release, but a lot of people were saying, man, when these two do interviews together, when they've made the press rounds, they do not seem to like each other. Forget having chemistry. They really don't seem to enjoy hanging out together. How did they seem to you in terms of chemistry on screen?
Chemistry, they were okay in the beginning. It was a little awkward, which made sense because, you know, she's a virgin. She's never had sex before. So the chemistry was a little uncomfortable. It was a little too realistic, uncomfortable.
Okay.
It wasn't great. As the movie evolved, it was a little bit better. You started to pick up on it. But I think a lot of that was you're filling in the blanks in the chemistry from the book and trying to get what was in your mind when you were reading those books.
All right.
Totally. I'm not going to lie. There's a scene that was a little bit of a twinge that I was like, okay, but that was especially during the Beyonce slow song.
Okay.
Do you think people who might go to this movie, like it's Valentine's Day weekend, they want to go out and do something as a couple, they haven't read the books, but they just are looking for a good romantic movie, is this a good choice for them?
Well, they're going to see it. People are going to see it regardless, whether they've read the book or not, just out of the curiosity factor.
Right.
And, yeah, it is a romance movie that has the, you know, bondage angle to it. And it's a little bit harder edge than your typical romance that you're, you know, butterflies, like, you know, in the book. It's no butterflies and hearts movie. And it's a romance, and it's trash. It's not – don't go in with high expectations thinking it's going to be this fabulous movie that blows you out of the water, because it's not going to.
Right. Will you go see it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tonight?
And more girls.
Go see it tonight with your friends?
You're so funny.
Hey. I'm going to make my boyfriend go see it.
Oh, don't do that, Aisa.
I know.
But here's why
– I have to see two American Snipers for one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, you really have to make up for it.
Why do you suppose this book was such a sensation? Because by all accounts, as you even said, it wasn't well written. It was just trashy beach novels. Why do you suppose they sold 100 million copies of Fifty Shades of Grey?
Here's the thing. The book itself has a lot of edgy, and I put that in quotes, bondage, sex scenes, and there's a lot going on in there, and she's descriptive when it gets to certain scenes like that, but at the same time, it's your modern day super trashy Danielle Steele romance novel where you're vested in their romance and what's happening in the push pull and tug of war, you know, no pun intended, with the romance between the two characters. So I think that's what really drove women, is that not only the books end in cliffhanger, so they want to keep reading, not just because of the hot sex scenes that are in the book and what your mind pictures when you're reading it, but, you know, there's that romance angle of it.
And
everybody
wants to read
that.
They're invested in whether they get together or not.
Sure, that's exact. They want them to end up in, you know, how they end up.
All right, last question from me, Aisa, and you're awesome to come on. We really appreciate it. And that is, do you think that most women who read these books would be interested in getting into some of that bondage in their real life, or do you think they just enjoy it as a fantasy?
I think it's a little bit of both, because I think the bondage situation is obviously
someone's fantasy or quite a few people's fantasies. And I think that if you are reading it, then you are definitely open to new things and wanting to try things. It does open up your mind and think, let's try that maybe tonight.
Sure,
why not?
Let's gamble on our friend Aisa. Does she have a ball gag at home?
I'm going to say she does.
I'm going yes.
She absolutely. Will by tonight.
I'm saying yes. Being here, you're a yes.
100%.
Lisa?
When she takes her tonight. Boyfriend to the movie, he'll be in a dog collar. I know that for a fact. All right, so.
Is the ball gag mine or?
It's up to you, Aisa.
It's yours.
Let's all right, honest. Scale of 1 to 100. What do you give 50 Shades of Grey, Aisa?
Oh, I give it a 50.
A 50, okay.
Right.
By the way, that's exactly what Rotten Tomatoes gives it, is a 50.
I have to.
Yeah.
I have to stay true to it, no matter what.
Will you see it just one more time this weekend or two?
Maybe three, probably.
Yeah,
I'll
right.
see it a lot. And then I'll see it. Now, I'm not going to lie. I've also watched the Magic Mike trailer over and over and over again.
Yeah, well. Aisa is horny. That's what we've learned here today. All right. Have a great Valentine's Day weekend, my dear. Thanks for coming on.
I love you guys.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning. What's going on?
I'm just saying I'll accept your apology now.
His or mine or all of ours?
All of yours.
Okay.
Well, last hour we were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger's new ride, his Bugatti Veyron.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And I did mention that you can have your own Bugatti Veyron for the low, low price of around $2.2 million. And while talking about this exotic, high-end vehicle, I mentioned that if you want to get your oil changed on the Bugatti Veyron, it'll set you back around $21,000.
Which we found completely not possible.
And I was openly mocked and derided for bringing up that fact to your attention.
Well, it's a laughable error that you made, Ralph.
Except for the fact that we did a little research, and any guesses?
It's perhaps mostly true.
It's 100% true!
I think you should check your facts.
I did check my facts.
$21,000.
For
an oil change.
For basic maintenance and oil change.
How do they justify that amount?
Because...
what are they doing that's worth $21,000?
The oil is squirted out of a Sports Illustrated supermodel.
Oh, well, that's different.
I mean, explain that to me, Ralph.
You want new tires for your Bugatti? You want to get a new set of tires?
I don't think I do after the oil change.
And you have to change them more often than regular cars.
Of course.
Because they're high-performance vehicles, and they go through tires more quickly.
How much are the tires?
$40,000.
Each?
No, for a set.
For a set of four?
Yeah.
$40,000. You can buy most cars for less than that.
Easily. For the price of an oil change, you can get a car.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
$21,000. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Did anyone check our state treasury, by the way, when he left office?
I don't know.
Because I'd be curious to know whether his pockets were bulging on the way out of the governor's mansion. Because he's buying a $22.2 million car.
I got to ask Kevin's question again, which is, how much better can that be than a $80,000 car?
I know, right? Come on. Yeah.
Lightning's our car expert. I'm sure he'll tell us.
I'm sure he will.
Because you get behind the wheel and you start driving and it can only go so fast, right? Like, what are you getting for the extra $2 million?
The name?
I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like it.
I guess Bean's not buying the Bugatti.
I'm not.
I guess he's not trading in his clown car anytime soon.
Yeah.
What's up with Emile Hirsch? What's up with that dude?
Oh, that's a bad deal. I don't know this deal.
He was at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah, when he attacked a female Hollywood executive at a party.
Oh, no.
He was at the town nightclub when he allegedly asked Paramount Pictures exec Danielle Bernfeld why she looked so tough. And then he said she was a rich kid who should not be at Sundance. Hmm. So she walked away to avoid confrontation when he allegedly came up from behind her and put her in a chokehold.
What?
Pulled her across a table and onto the floor, landed on top of her, wrapped his hands around her neck, and began to choke her.
Why?
Two people reportedly pulled him off.
Do we know any backstory, or he just went crazy?
Well, his spokesperson said he consumed an enormous amount of alcohol on the evening in question and has no memory of what happened.
A few days after the incident, Emil sought help and checked himself into an alcohol rehabilitation facility where he remains today to ensure nothing like this ever happens again. Sounds like it is some preemptive court on here. But he's in due in court on March the 16th. He is charged with a third-degree felony charge of assault. And if he's convicted, he could get up to 5 years in the Utah State Prison.
Wow.
Where I think he would be very popular.
Yes, he would. very few good things happen to you at 4 a.m. when this incident allegedly.
Yeah, but a lot of good things happen.
As a wise man has reminded us.
I just couldn't resist that. Do we have that moment where we find that chip?
Hopefully not.
And Kingsman, the Secret Service opens up today. Matthew Vaughn, in an interview, was talking about the thing. Aspect of the comic book, which is that celebrities get kidnapped in the comic version of Kingsman. Mark Hamill, for example, is kidnapped in the comic book and then now plays a role in the film, but not as himself. Matthew Vaughn said originally he wanted to have Elton John kidnapped in the movie. He thought it would be very funny to have Elton John play himself and be kidnapped by the arch-villain of the piece.
That would have been great.
He said it would be so funny to see Elton John locked up in a cell, throwing tantrums and being very annoying to his captors. But apparently the concept of a celebrity prisoners was tossed out of the film, so they didn't use it. But that would have been awesome.
That would have been good.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Speaking of celebrities, TV show host Jerry Springer is 71 years old today, as is actress Stockard Channing. Probably best known by some still as Rizzo in Grease, or maybe as the First Lady in The West Wing. Peter Gabriel, 65 years old. Henry Rollins is 54. Neil McDonough from Agent Carter is 49 years old. Kelly Hugh is 47. Robbie Williams turns 41 years old today. Mina Suvari is 36. But the reason we got out of bed today, the reason we're celebrating, thank God someone gave us the heads up mid-show that this was happening. I forgot all about the fact that February the 13th, every year, we celebrate the birthday of American Werewolf in London star David Naughton, who also had this smash hit single, Making It.
I'm solid gold. I've got the goods. They stand when I walk through the nation.
Let's play that whole song. What do you say?
Let's not.
Whatever the next song we were going to play is,
let's
drop it and play the whole song Making It.
I have 24.94 seconds of it.
That's it.
That's all there is.
Whatever Red Hot Chili Pepper song we're going to play next, instead.
It got erased in the archives.
Let's play.
I'm really sorry.
David
Naughton's
Making It.
We'd get right to that if we had it.
That is a song that'll make you happy
but
right
we
there.
We don't.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Greg, Danielle, did you guys write that one too? Is that one of your songs?
One you just played?
Yeah.
No.
You missed that one. There's one you didn't write. this is very exciting, you guys. Spin Magazine wrote these words. At the risk of sounding hyperbolic, Greg Alexander is one of the most underappreciated songwriters of the last 20 years. He is here along with his frequent co-writer, Daniel Brisbois. They, of course, are up for an Oscar is that next weekend, you guys, the Oscars?
Yeah,
it's the 22nd.
Yeah. For Best Original Song, Lost Stars, from the movie Begin Again. Let's welcome Greg and Danielle to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
This is fun, you guys. You know, it's funny. We love music, and we have a lot of artists on, a lot of bands, a lot of singers talk a lot about music. But very rarely do we get to just talk the craft of songwriting, and that's such an important part of the business. It's really cool to have you guys in here.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We're K-Rock fans forever. So
yeah, last time I was on the air here was like in Burbank and like 22 years ago.
Yep.
Swede were doing a show, I think, that same night, and somebody, there were some kids outside, and I was like, they were like a whole bunch of them. They go, "You're not Swede." I go, "No, but I'm wearing a velvet, actually."
Purple. Well, I think that's a great place to start with you, Greg, because a lot of longtime K-Rock listeners may not know your name, but they certainly remember you as a K-Rock artist, because we played the New Radicals on this station. Obviously, the first song was a huge hit. I know we played the second one quite a bit, too. I mean, we must have given you thousands of spins over the years, right?
Oh, geez. Yeah, no thanks again. Yeah, and you guys played a few of my solo records, but I was on Epic around grunge time, so I refused to like kind of look like Eddie Vedder. Not that that's a bad thing, but it didn't help much at Epic. They were like, look like Eddie Vedder or you're dropped. Next thing I know, I was working on the street.
And so then you were always the guy that I wondered whatever happened to the New Radicals. Yes, I always thought they put out one album,
And then I loved it. And then what happened?
Oh, well, I ended the project after the first single, just kind of decided to do some work behind the scenes as a record producer and songwriter and stuff. I liked touring. It was fun. But I really missed writing songs every day and being creative and being an artist. And I felt like maybe for me personally that grind wasn't right, be the right fit.
That's a strange choice.
I know.
I mean, it's perfect for you, obviously. But who says, hey, my album is a hit and I'm wanted now and no thanks?
It's just so self-aware. I think probably a lot of people down the road realize that, but you realized it early on.
Well, you know, oddly enough, I had two records out before the New Radicals record took off. They were solo records. And I think maybe having been through that experience of the business for about 11 or 12 years, by the time I finally had a hit record, I'd already been around it for 12 years. So I was already ready to retire.
And Danielle, of course, you were working with Greg back then as well, right? You were in the New Radicals.
Yep, it was.
And how did you feel? I mean, how did you and the other members of the band feel like when he said, hey, I don't want to do it anymore?
Oh, you had to hate him.
No, you know.
What?
It's when New Radicals happened, it was still freaking me out. Every time I'd be driving down the road, hearing somebody like playing You Get What You Give in their car, I'm like, how'd they get that demo? So it like never really, I think when you're involved in something, you never really feel like, oh, it's big, or you don't really kind of get it because you're still just in your own lives. And whereas I was hanging out and like writing songs. So it was almost like nothing really changed for us except like not touring, really.
Well, interestingly enough, see, I wanted to make a segue into writing and producing for other artists, and Danielle did as well. I mean, she wrote, not everybody knows this, but some people do. Danielle wrote and produced Unwritten for Natasha Bedingfield.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the theme from The Hills?
Well, it wasn't written for the theme.
No, but that's the song they chose,
yes,
though, right?
Yes, I'm very grateful for that because it was very good. But
Because that show was on for a long time.
Yeah, it was.
She did Pocketful of Sunshine as well, and I did Santana, Game of Love, and a lot of pan-European records like Murder on the Dance Floor or Life is a Roller Coaster that you might know if you have a vacation in Greece or Europe. You know? So it was a good segue. And we actually had a whole year of touring and playing big shows and having a lot of
fun.
So
fun.
We kind of got our yayas out, as the Stones would say. You know?
That's just – it's so fascinating. All right, so then you become full-time songwriters. Neither of you have been performing at all through all these years?
No.
Not much, no. Although we've been doing some stuff to kind of support this Oscar campaign, which was a really, I hate to call it a campaign, but that's kind of what it is. We're very naive and kind of newbies and stuff, but it became clear that at the very least you have to show that you, you have to put some support out there for the work after you make it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I didn't really do much press around the time of when the film came out. We let the director and the stars like Adam Levine and Keira Knightley and Mark Ruffalo do that. But 3 or 4 months later, when the Oscar season started, there just seemed to be an organic support for the song with a lot of writers and bloggers and stuff. So we've done a few press things and we've done a few performances of the song acoustically, just, you know, because we're proud of the song. We hope people get to hear it and stuff, you know.
Yeah, and you're up against some heavy hitter competition and you need to get it out there and let people be aware of it. And we definitely, we want to spend a lot of time talking about the movie and the song because it is beautiful. We'll get to that. All right, so you go off the road, and now you just want to be songwriters. There was never a time where you guys wrote something that you felt like you needed to sing. You were always content to give it to another artist and let them do it.
Well, I was going to sing Teenage Dream, but then Katie did it. But,
oops. That song is all about you.
Yeah. I occasionally you'll write a song and you'll be really proud of it. But what I do is I write the demo. On the demos, I really sing my heart out, as does Danielle. So we kind of have our artistic journey come to fruition, usually with the demos and stuff like that, because we have those to always kind of like be our own private records. Mm-hmm. But if you can craft an exciting record around a great voice like Sophie L. Spexter with Murder on the Dance Floor, or like Danielle did with Unwritten, you know, it's just as satisfying as it is singing it yourself in a weird kind of way. But maybe that's the old school songwriters in us, you know.
Yeah.
And Greg, you didn't do even an interview for 15 years, though. I mean, do you just pride anonymity?
No, I just think that sometimes it's easy for, you know, with producers and writers, for them to kind of usurp the identities or the work of the artist they work with if they're out there in the fray too much. I mean, I don't want to name names, but there's definitely a handful of, like, super producers or uber producers that kind of, like, you almost know as much as or more about them as you do about the artist. And it mitigates the and minimizes the validity sometimes of the artist, at least to me. I mean, sadly, that there aren't a lot of, if any, artists that have that same mystique that maybe like a Prince or a Madonna or people like that or Morrissey had when we were growing up. And so that's something that we at least feel like an artist should have the right to. And if they choose not to build upon that, that's their own choice.
Have you written a song that somebody destroyed? That you
wow, that's only if we're not producing it.
Oh, geez. Yeah. No, actually, quite frankly, oddly enough, that's the reason, really the sole reason why we even produce the records, is because if you don't produce them and arrange them, then they can turn into something you don't
completely
recognize.
Different, right?
Yeah. So we produce and write. I produce most of them. There's been one or two that were done produced without us, and I won't, we don't want to do it, but they were a little bit like, oh my God, I don't even want my mom to hear this.
Yeah. Danielle, tell us, I think this is the most remarkable thing that has been uncovered this week as we've been researching into your career. Tell us the Annie connection with you and why and how that turned into be much more significant than we ever could have imagined.
Well, are you talking about the Jay-Z record?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was in the original cast of Annie on Broadway. And
so you were a little kid star?
I started working when I was 3, actually.
What?
Wow. Oh, yeah. By the time I was 9 years old, I did over 200 commercials and jingles. And
wow.
I was on Broadway for 3 years.
She sang Honeycombs Big. Yeah. She did all those. If you do jingles when you were a kid, she did all of them.
I was the lead soprano for the Children's Choir of the Metropolitan and New York City Opera Company. So I was just working my whole
So you're life. Like 5, and your parents are like, Danielle, it's time for you to start earning your keep here, babe.
No, I was more like, I can do better than you. I just really liked it, and thankfully I had a mom and dad who embraced my quirkiness when I was a kid.
So you're on Broadway in Annie at how old?
6.
At 6 years old, and you're playing what part?
I played Molly, the littlest orphan, which was a blast.
Okay, and then what happens after you sing that song?
Well, years later, I'm driving down Sunset Boulevard one day, and I see, like, a poster, and it's, like, Hard Knock Life. I'm like, what is this? This is stupid. And then I hear, like, on the radio, I hear, like, Hard Knock Life. I'm like, what is this? This is, like, a DJ doing a parody or something. Like, who would, like, you know, take Hard Knock Life and make it a rap song? And then I'm like, I hear it again later. I'm like, this is real. And that's me on the chorus, and I got paid nothing.
Oh,
Jay-Z owes her money.
Yeah, but that's me on the chorus. That's
she's coming to collect.
I am from Brooklyn, but this gave me more street cred than even being coming from Brooklyn.
This is before Jay-Z was a huge name, right?
This was what made him a huge name, I think.
That's right. This was his biggest hit at the time. And so he just sampled the original Broadway recording that had your voice on it.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? Now, I mean, did you have people look into that to see if maybe you were doing like a taste or something?
Of course. But the problem is that it's not even Jay-Z's fault at this point, because the producers of the show were the ones who I had the contract with, they just basically took all the money for themselves.
I bet if you were Tom Petty, they would have given you 12%, though.
Exactly. Wearing you 25%.
Maybe after this Oscar, I can reapproach it.
She can't. Yeah, Jay-Z's going to have 99 problems, and Danielle's going to be one.
Well played. All right. Greg Alexander and Danielle Brisbois are in our studios here at the Kevin and Bean Show. They are the Oscar-nominated songwriters for the Best Original Song in a Motion Picture for their tune called Lost Stars from the film Begin Again. That must sound so good to you guys to hear Oscar-nominated songwriters, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not something you ever imagined growing up, right? That one day you might be there? That's so cool. All right. We'll talk more with Greg and Danielle when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We are having some fun now with our guests in studio, Greg Alexander and Danielle Brisbois. They are the Academy Award-nominated songwriters for the song called Lost Stars from the movie Begin Again. This was the film, by the way, with Keira Knightley and Adam Levine. It had Mark Ruffalo was in it, Haley Steinfeld. A lot of people saw that movie. Here's the song we're talking about, kids.
And I'm like, oh. I said, what's your name? And we were talking. I literally thought it was one of my friends taking the piss, as they say. Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
Not really.
It's a British term, yeah. But, yeah, but no, he told me about once, and I, of course, was aware of that. And he sent out the script, and I loved it. And one of the first things I did was share it with Danielle and with a few other people that I like to write with and stuff like that. And said,
Can we just back up for one
second?
Yeah. So he got the number from Bono?
Oh, yes, sir.
No?
Yeah.
So Bono gave him your number.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you just went right through that. I was just – that's a little odd.
Maybe that's normal in your life, Greg, but for us, that's a pretty big effing deal, okay?
Right. Well, I'm friends with him, and we have another mutual friend, Simon, who's a screenwriter as well, and I've met him a bit over the years. Just a lovely chap. I mean, I know sometimes people give him a hard time, but when you're trying to change the world and make it a better place, you get a lot of arrows shot at you.
Sure.
You
know?
But would you get on the back of a bicycle with him?
Yeah, no, but he's, I mean, really, if you think about the work he's done, there's probably, you know, 10 million people alive because of the groundbreaking work he's done. And really, he's picked up the ball and the baton on behalf of what politicians don't want to do, which is to try to make the world a better place.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Unfortunately, because of, you know, these corporations that don't want to pay their taxes and these billionaires and stuff, there's literally billions and billions of dollars that could be going to aid that instead is just sitting in the Cayman Islands and stuff. So,
well, you don't have to sell us on Bono. I mean, we love the dude. I mean, that's awesome that you're friends with him. So when you're writing for these characters in the movie, is that a different skill set than writing songs for other artists or songs for, you know, yourself and in your own experiences? I mean, you're trying to basically write something that would be true to these characters.
Yeah, well, you know, when we read the script and we like ruminated on it and it just kind of lived with us. And then what we tend to do is just try to write the best song we can. So we knew about the characters. We knew that it would have to be, some of these songs would have to be sung by a woman as well as by a man. But, you know, when Danielle and I write together, we have different
perspectives. We happen to be a woman and a man.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It works out.
So it
Perfect.
Works out okay.
But Keira Knightley is not a professional singer, right?
I'm not saying she can't sing.
Yeah, I'm not saying she can't sing, but did
you know what she can do? Well, you know what? I knew she was a great actress, and I knew she could tell a story, which is the most important thing about any vocalist, because there's, Lord knows, we all watch these contest shows. A lot of people can hit the notes, but they don't make you feel a thing. So the fact that somebody can act and really tell a story and hit the emotional target on stuff is 90% of it. And she came into the studio and she could sing. I mean, she's not like a Mariah Carey type singer.
Right.
She's more Carole King.
But her voice also reminds me a bit of the Cardigans.
Sure.
A bit of like that kind of really sensual, just emotional, kind of comfy voice.
Did you know that before she came into the studio?
We'd only Googled one thing. We saw something. There was one movie where she sang a little bit. What was that movie called? It was
a
Johnny Depp film she was in. I forget the name of it. But she did a little bit of singing. We heard it. And we were like, well, there's something there. And then you don't know until they get in the studio. But she came in and she got on the mic. And she was really a lot of fun to work with. Really good sense of humor.
Surprised, you knew it was a possibility, but were you surprised the morning Oscar nominations were announced that your song had gotten the nod?
Yes.
Were you up and watching, or did someone call and wake you up?
Well, I have 13-month-old twins, so fortunately, one of the girls had woken up at like 3 in the morning.
So you're up 24/7.
Yeah, so I was up, and I'm like, well, we're up, so let's watch this nominations happen. Let's watch, you know, everybody else get the nomination but us.
I was asleep, and they named us last.
So I was watching, and the first category up is best song. I'm like,
first
okay,
one,
the torture will end early.
Go back to bed.
So, and then, like, first song, not us, second song, not us, third song, not us. All right, I'm in my head, I'm like, we're done.
Yeah.
Fourth song, not us, I'm like, really done. Fifth song, us, I'm like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. So I called Greg.
Yeah, she woke me up.
5:30 in the morning, the phone's ringing. It's Danielle.
She's talking like this. She said, Greg, I have something to tell you. I was going to say you've been castrated, but that's not possible. So she said, So she was like, oh, it happened. I said, just tell me. Just get it out of the way. Did it happen or not? And she was like, yes, it did. I was like, oh, wonderful. No, it was really sweet.
I'm going back to sleep. Talk to you soon.
No, it was really sweet.
Was it up to you? Could you guys have chosen to perform this yourselves on the telecast instead of having Adam do it?
That's something we don't know. No, we never even explored it, really. I mean, Adam does such a great job singing it and stuff, so he's been a great ambassador for the project and stuff. I mean, I know last year Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs sang, so
yeah.
I don't know. We didn't really explore it and stuff like that. I don't know.
But you'll go. You'll go to the ceremony, right?
Oh, yeah.
That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, I got a dress. Better go.
Right. Well, it's so exciting. So next Sunday, If we talk to you guys next Sunday night, you could be Oscar winners.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Well, if it happens, we'll come in. And,
yeah. We'll bring the Oscar.
You'll come in from the night before.
We'll come in and we'll sing the song acoustic.
I love it.
Because it'll be our one chance to really, like, you know, do it live on radio. Yeah. You know?
And you're going to feel really, really good that next Monday morning after we get an Oscar Sunday night. I'm sure you're going to totally be up for performing. You're not going to regret that offer at all, Greg.
Stranger things have happened.
Well, we're going to take you up on it then.
Ooh, we certainly are.
All right. Well, this has been so much fun. I mean, we're just, I mean, look, I don't want to get all corny here, but we all love music. That's part of why we're in this business. And there's just something magic about people who do what you do. I mean, we're in awe of people who are able to write songs as good as you guys write songs. So congratulations on your great careers and congratulations on this song. And, man, we hope you win on Sunday. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. And thanks for taking a lot of people through their mornings for so many years as well with good, great talk and good attitudes.
Not always
music.
Great, but thank you.
No, but you guys have been like a staple in my life for a long time. So. Thank you.
That's very nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
Anyway, speaking of Kim Fowley, his funeral was...
I don't think anyone was...
Amazing. I mean, there's so many people there. It overflowed.
Funeral was amazing?
They had to shut the doors off. But
shut the doors off?
You had to get there early in order to, you know, to pay your respects.
Uh-huh. Right.
Besides Joan Jett and Michael DeBar and Michael Lloyd... And everybody, Elliot Ingberg was there from Mothers of Invention.
Okay.
Members of the Quick were there.
Oh, the Quick.
Stephen T. Members of Venus and the Razor Blades.
Wow, a lot of big stars.
Were there. The Orchids were there.
Oh, the Orchids.
Chris Darrow. Of course, Gary Calamar. Black Room Doom. Ghetto Partridge. Miss Pamela from the GTOs was there. Pamela DeBars. Sirius Trixon. Harvey Kubernick. Dan Kessel, the Kessel Brothers.
Wow.
Howie Pyro was there.
A lot of stars.
And Miss Kansas.
And Miss Kansas.
There. Everybody was there.
Everybody.
It was beautiful.
Uh-huh.
The Kessel Brothers?
Hollywood Forever. A little bit later, I'll give you the address.
Nope.
In the lure of sending flowers, you could donate to get a headstone.
It's in lieu, Roddy, not in lure.
He said lure.
What a legend. A lot of people were there. It was just amazing.
We heard. Sounds like it.
The Orchids
believe
were there.
I saw Joan Jett actually shedding a tear
because
there was a part at the cemetery where they had an open coffin.
Oh. Got
to actually see Kim.
Good
he was
times.
Full rest in peace.
Oh.
He was in a suit, striped suit.
Oh, he's in a suit.
He wasn't up and active?
Is this a...
And, saw that.
You
Joan
saw that,
was
did you?
Shedding some tears. Oh. And, of course,
Carol How about the Orchids? Were they
Wright,
crying?
Kim's beautiful wife,
Kessel
was
Brothers,
there, shedding tears, and
people were
Kara's
crying.
Family
at a funeral?
Was there. It was just a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people couldn't get in. So,
crowded all those stars.
Sorry for that.
It's
sad that nobody else can get in.
It is sad.
It was really packed.
It sounds like it was packed. All right, thank you for that, Roddy. That on the spot report, we appreciate that. Ralph is here now. Time for our final showbiz beat for the week. What's going on?
Well, after celebrity reporting like that, I feel bad doing my thing here because
well, you better bring the big stars like Roddy did.
He brought that Kim Fowley funeral story to life. inside the coffin, Kim Fowley was resting.
Heard that? Yeah.
I would have thought he'd be up
in a suit,
up meeting and greeting folks. All these folks showed up for the event.
Apparently wasn't feeling well that day.
I guess not.
Hmm.
All right. People keep writing in about the Bugatti.
All right, what now?
The What's Bugatti, the man. It's the Bugatti.
Right.
You don't know. Give me a little Bugatti.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Right. So this is a big-time luxury automobile that you brought to us this morning because Arnold Schwarzenegger owns one?
He's been seen driving around in his new Bugatti Veyron.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Yeah, right. His new Bugatti Veyron. Been through cruising the streets of Los Angeles this week, and we're all stunned and shocked to find out that this high-end exotic sports car will cost you around $2.2 million.
I feel like
unless,
it's...
like Bean mentioned earlier, you take advantage of the President's Day sale this week and you probably get it for like $2 million out
right.
the door with the sports package
Cash.
And the undercoating. I'm guessing you can get about $2 million.
And the satellite radio, don't forget, three months.
Yeah,
right?
3 months.
And then with the $2 million.
Then you got to check in with the good folks at Sirius and renew.
All right, what's your thought here, Kevin?
And then we found out that the oil change sets you back around $21,000 to get your oil changed.
Which didn't seem possible.
Which,
no.
Which my little friends here, Kevin and Bean, the chuckleheads, mocked me for, saying, you've got your facts wrong. You should go check that out. And it turns
Doesn't
out,
that seem wildly out of whack with what's
but
even
why would I
possible?
Say it? Why would I say it if
well,
it wasn't
you
the
get
case?
A, you get a lot of stuff wrong in the show, Bisbee. We don't take it as gospel, Ralph. Come on. $21,000 for an oil change. It's indefensible.
Well, turns out it may be indefensible, but it's fact. That's what it costs you to get an oil change.
For what?
For a new Bugatti.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Tires will set you back $40,000 for tires.
$40,000.
Yeah, if you want new tires for that ride, for that whip.
Are there people who get more enjoyment out of buying things if they are ridiculously overpriced because it reinforces in their mind how rich they are?
I don't know. There's people that do that with watches.
Yes.
And
all right,
else.
Yeah. Yep. Watches, sneakers, cars.
He's the guy.
Because it is status, and you're saying, I have this kind of coin that I can afford this.
What you're saying is,
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I mean, I guess this is the, you know, the people who buy the $500 handbags that are no better than an $80 handbag. It's just an amplified version of that, I guess.
And it's less, you know, it's more rare. You don't see a lot of Bugattis driving around Los Angeles. So when you see one, it's a matter of, hey, look at me. I'm in this unique thing. I have this rare watch, this rare bag, this what have you.
But if you're Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I am Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Are you
amazing that you would say that, because here I am being him, and you said if you're him and I'm him.
Do you buy that car so people will look at you?
Yeah, I do, because, you know, first of all, I have a very tiny penis.
Hey, you wouldn't think Arnold Schwarzenegger would need to draw attention to himself. He's
well, nobody
Arnold
recognizes me or says anything to... Oh, wait a minute.
That's probably not
Everyone
true at
all. Recognizes me all the time and says everything to me.
Yeah.
Especially, is that a tumor? And I go, no, that's not a tumor. Not at all.
Well, I don't like it.
You know, he was the first guy to own a Hummer.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, he was? Oh, I didn't realize that. All right.
He sure was.
He was the first guy outside the military to drive around in a Hummer. So he likes the look at me vehicles, that's for sure. So I guess this morning he woke up in a...
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I woke up in a new Bugatti.
I'm going to walk around all weekend singing that stupid hook, just that part. I don't know any other words.
Well, I got another song that's going to rinse that right out of your mind in the birthdays. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Valentine's weekend. If you want to kick things off tonight, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show over at the Improv on Melrose. No. Love to have you come out and join us. We're going to have a good time tonight. We're going to bust out a new game. Impression Bingo.
Impression Bingo.
Yeah, we've made up some bingo cards with my impressions on them.
Right.
And if I'm going to do a bunch of impressions all night long, and if you get five in a row, you win something.
Okay.
How about that? That sounds like fun, right?
It sounds like fun.
No, not for Jeff Garland.
No.
You can go to improv.com if you want to get tickets and come see us tonight or any night there at the Improv.
Or you can come to the Bicycle Casino. We're doing Guys Night Out.
Or you could do that, too. Yeah, you could do
that. But that's for guys only, though, as I understand.
No, it's just guys. If you're just guys.
No, it's for girls as well.
Well, no, it's Guys Night Only.
Well, I know.
It'd be silly to call something Guys Night Only if you were inviting women, too.
But women are certainly welcome.
Not to Guys Night Only.
No, they are, though. That's.
But it's Guys Night Only.
But guys don't want to just hang out with guys.
Well, then don't make it a guy's night.
I didn't name it.
What are you doing over there?
Yeah, we're trying to get girls.
All right. Today's celebrity birthday is Jerry Springer, 71 years old today, as is actress Stockard Channing. Peter Gabriel turns 65. Henry Rollins is 54 years old. Neil McDonough, he's 49. Kelly Hugh, 47 years old today. Robbie Williams is 41. Mina Suvari turns 36. And David Walsh Naughton. That's right. You know him from American Werewolf in London. He was the Dr. Pepper spokesperson for many years. Midnight Madness, the Disney comedy. A lot of people love him in that. But the reason we celebrate his birthday is for the smash hit theme song from his sitcom Making It called Making It.
That's not Making It.
That's the Bugatti song.
It sounds a lot like the Bugatti song.
It sounds nothing like the Bugatti song. It's got the double clap in it.
I'm solid gold. I've got the goods. They stand when I walk through the neighborhood. I'm making it. Ooh. I've got the chance. I'm taking it.
What about faking it?
No more. No more faking it. This time in life, I'm making it.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Making it. All
All right, now I'll be singing that all weekend. Way to go, Ruff.
Also in Meatballs. That was the dance. That was the song of the dance of Meatballs. Virgins on the left, non-virgins on the right. I'm Ruff Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ruff, let's do this, should we?
Yeah.
This. That's the song you ought to be thinking all weekend long. This is the one right here. We'll see you on Tuesday, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, guess what? It's hammer time.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Look at me, I've got girl boobs.
Roll another one.
So I guess this is a thing.
Just like the other one.
It sounds racist.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Rest in peace.
And I need another hit.
I gotta say.
I don't have another cent.
All right, I believe we have a Lauren in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Lauren.
Whoa, only in America. Wow.
Just pass it around.
Wah, wah, wah.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
You are very observant, Lisa.
I just pass it.
Please stop talking. Shut the f*** up!
And wow, what a show that was.
I think we're really good at this.
We're extremely good at it?
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
But we're done, right?
I'd like to be.
Let's do it.
It's up to us, right?
Yes,
we're done.
Done.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have 5 seconds to get out of here, or I will rip your throats out.
Let's just get a to be continued on this. How about that?